Heavenly Father, it's a blessing to be here this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that the doors are still open to the church, that we can gather together safely, Lord, to worship you, to learn from thy word, Father. And we pray that thou wouldst reveal it to us this morning as thou hast done in Bible class, Lord. We thank thee for being able to look at the 22nd chapter of Revelation, Lord, and have things in the hope and joy of things to look forward to, Father. And we thank thee now this morning, again, that we can gather here, Lord. We're thankful for the dusting of snow outside, Lord, as we see the white snow that we read about in Isaiah, Lord, that though our sins be as scarlet, red as scarlet, that they can be made white as snow, Lord. We pray for those, especially here this morning, who have not accepted the gift of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we pray that thou wouldst touch their hearts, Lord, and continue to work in their lives, Lord. We're thankful that they are gathered here and for everyone gathered here this morning to learn and be encouraged from thy word. Father, we pray that thy spirit would speak through me this morning, work through me, Lord, and that all would be left unto thee, that our cares and concerns would be left unto thee, and that our focus can be put around thy word and thy scriptures this morning. We thank thee so much for Jesus Christ being born in this earth, Father, the way that he was. And we thank thee for the life that he lived for us and the ultimate sacrifice that was given for us. And we pray that we can reflect and dwell on these things each and every day of our lives. And we pray this now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to turn this morning to the first chapter of St. Matthew. First chapter of Matthew, and with the encouragement, hopefully, that we can realize that Christmas isn't over on December 26th. Often that kind of happens that way in our lives, I think. We see it, you know, around us in the stores, you know, right after Thanksgiving, or sometimes even before Thanksgiving, the decorations and sales come out for Christmas. The music starts to come on the radio. Sometimes I know with us when we bought our van a few years ago, the first couple years we had it, all of a sudden we would get a free month subscription to the XM radio. We'd always listen to the Christmas music, but it would turn off right after Christmas. And but it's important for us in our lives. You know, we also realize that a lot of times, and I haven't looked up to see what the data is, but I think we can all even see in our own congregations, a lot of times, you know, the two probably most attended services at church are Christmas and Easter. And whether it be people think those are more important to be at, or people are coming home maybe to visit their families and are able to attend, you know, it is important. And those are the important milestones in Christianity, of course, the birth of Christ and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's important that as a church and as families that we don't just dwell on those two parts, just those 2 days out of the year. And I think we probably talk about, you know, the death of Christ and the shed blood of Christ more throughout the year than we do the birth of Christ. But of course, now even around our communities, we do see, even maybe in secular stores or, you know, people trying to make a sales, there's still decorations of a manger scene or, you know, there's a lot of talk about the star of the Christmas star, I think they called it recently, that was talking about the lining up of two of the planets that could see, and that was, you know, on the news and things like that. But it's important that we think about, you know, the events that took place in this time, but also more importantly, how it continues to apply to our lives. So I'd like to read a shorter part of Matthew chapter 1 here, starting with verse 18, but I ask you to keep your Bibles with you because I would like to reference quite a few other verses throughout the morning here. So I'd like to start with Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And I want to reflect on these things because they're important for us to remember and to review and be reminded of the scriptures. And importantly, I want to just look up a few of the prophecies that relate to Christ's birth. If we look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and I know many of these are familiar verses. We hear them in a lot of the songs that are played. But again, I think it's always important for us to be reminded and see it written in the Old Testament, written in the New Testament, and how it had played out in history. And as we mentioned this morning, many prophecies that had come true from some of these books in the Old Testament already. So verse 14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we read that here this morning in verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And we know, as we'll read as well this morning, we know that did take place, of course, and is recorded in Scripture. And then going a couple books later in the Old Testament here to Micah. Chapter 5, verse 2 says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from of old, from everlasting. And here I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2 and read another handful of verses. So if you turn with me, there'll actually be more verses than we read in Matthew. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, and to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And stay there, because I'd like to read some more verses. But just looking at this part we read out of Micah, talking about the Christ, the Savior, coming from Bethlehem, just thinking as we look at this, the miraculous nature of this, that for what had to happen for Christ to be born in Bethlehem. I don't know, but I don't think Mary was thinking, I need to do whatever I can to get to Bethlehem to have this baby, because I know that this is the Christ. And we can't imagine, if she's being great with child, the way to travel that she had to go, on a donkey or walking, whatever most of that trip consisted of. And I can't speak from experience myself, but we know that's an uncomfortable stage of life to be in. Sometimes walking from one end of the hall down to the other end of the house or whatever it may be, and getting in and out of a car, imagine getting on and off of a donkey. And thinking, so what had to happen for this trip and for her to even go along with Joseph? There's no talk here of thinking like, think of maybe the things we would do to kind of arrange. Was there any way that we could push this off for a couple months until we have the baby, or to make this trip? But they went on this trip because of the reason for returning to their home for the taxation purposes, whether you're about to have a baby or not, and going with Joseph, and they took this trip, and following the laws of the land. So, and that's, as we see, again, one big miraculous part of this, for, and we know there's multiple prophecies that lined up. And so I'd like to continue reading, keeping that in mind of what took place for that to even happen. If we continue, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. So we see these other miracles that took place, and there's amazing aspects of Christ's birth that took place. Even the fact of how he was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn, and in the inn, and even thinking of surviving a birth like that in those conditions. Even if they would have been in the inn, I'm guessing that wasn't, you know, like the cleanest hospital setting that they would have been able to find. And we see the appearance of the angel here and the multitude of angels praising God and guiding the shepherds and telling them about this. And then we see shepherds that packed up their things and traveled to go see the Christ, knowing that Jesus was the Christ after hearing this. We know also in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it talks about the wise men. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the land of in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So again, this star that they follow. There's all these miraculous things about Christ's birth. And they're necessary because what else would set this birth apart or set this child apart from any other child that was born this day across the nation there, which I'm sure there were others. So there's things that we need to have, and these things are many of the things that are focused on at Christmas time. And it is important because these are miraculous parts that we can tell people about, and this is what set apart the beginning of the life on earth of Jesus Christ, this baby, as a child, a human, that was born here on this earth. God sending down his son. And the prophecy, as we read, the angel going to Mary as well. And thinking about the account when, of John the Baptist, who leaped in Elizabeth's womb when Mary walked into their house when she was pregnant with Jesus. It's a miraculous thing. But I could see, you know, if one of these things, someone could probably write that off as a coincidence, or you know, everybody has a baby that kicks. But this, I love that imagery of leaping, just being in the presence of Christ before these babies were even born. So putting all this together, it's again helps set apart Christ's birth, and they're all things that we marvel at Christmas time, and we should marvel at. But it's also things that we need to realize that there's parts about Christ and Christmas time even that we need to focus on. I think. Even more. And I want to read some lyrics to a song that our kids sang recently at the Christmas program in Mansfield, the kids' choir program. And a month ago or so, we had a family over for dinner, and after dinner, the kids were singing some songs around the piano, and they were practicing some of their Christmas songs with the company that we had over. And I'd heard the songs before, but two of the songs, as I heard them singing and kind of singing with them there, the words really struck me. And so I'd like to read some of those because they kind of hit me differently. They kind of go together with this theme at Christmas time. They have similar themes about what the Lord is speaking to me about that we focus on. as we read the account of Christ being born. So remember, we read about, you know, the manger, the wise men, the shepherds, the angels that sang, and these are the words of the song that I like to read. It's not just about the manger, where the baby laid. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. And I think a lot of times at Christmas, we're not thinking about the cross, because that kind of comes, you know, 4 months later or so for us on our calendar. And it's something that we always need to bring any aspect of Christ's life back to the cross, because that is the ultimate purpose of him being here, him coming to the earth. So as all these miracles are important, we do need to acknowledge them and share them about Christ's birth. But without the birth of Christ, of course, we don't have the life and the example of Christ, and we don't have the death of Christ on the cross with his shed blood, saving us from our sins. So we want to try to, you know, any aspect in our life, whether it be at work, school, at home with our kids, here at church, of course, in our conversations with others, with neighbors, we always want to try to find ways to bring it back to the cross. And I love, actually, we watched your Christmas morning program from home. We were quarantining before we came here, so we were able to watch, you know, our nieces and nephews. But hearing, we're very familiar with the stories that we read as well. We have that Jesus Storybook Bible as well, and we read it to the kids every night. And I've even used some of those, how they kind of hit me. That's kind of inspired me for some sermons too, just thinking even some of the Old Testament stories in there and how the author brings the story back to Christ, whether it's about, you know, Naaman and his leprosy and the little servant girl who, you know, helped tell about Elijah or Elisha. I always get them confused, but knowing that there's this man that knows God and can help you with this. But always bring it back to, that's like the saving power of Jesus. And there's always this, bring it back to the cross. And there's so many aspects in our life and things in our life that we can do with our loved ones, again, with those around us, that we can bring back to the cross. Even as I thought of, as I was praying, the snow and how we can be washed of our sins by Christ's blood. There's conversations that we can have that the Lord provides for us all around us. And we need to be in tune with the Word and with the Spirit to let him, in our natural daily conversations, bring that out and share with others and be excited about sharing that with others. Because those are things that people can understand too. Because everyone else is walking around in nature and creation and sees these things too. And if we can help kind of make some of these, just like parables help us as we read the scriptures, help us understand, we can use things as well to help others understand as well. And I love the phrase in that song that says, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. And that was the whole purpose of him coming to this earth, humbling himself. And we think, reminds me of the verses in Philippians chapter 2, which describes this humility. Starting in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So he was equal with God and made himself of no reputation, what, you know, think of the level of humility as that transformation takes place, coming to this earth, and not even just coming to this earth to being like us, but then being crucified on a cross and going through the great humility, being marched through the city with a cross on his back and being whipped in front of others and mocked and ultimately killed, hanging exposed to everyone. Even having his father at some point turning his back on him because he couldn't face the sin, our sin that was put upon Jesus, that separated him from his father. So it's important that we remember that. Humility coming to this earth, and we know we talk a lot at Christmas time about the humble birth in that manger and the humility Mary and Joseph went through even to get to that point. He was not brought in as a prince of a king would be brought into this world with, you know, probably who knows how many of the physicians of the land they would require to be there to make sure everything went well. But in humility. And it's one thing that in the text we read in Matthew, I think it's a verse that I know I've often read over because I'm so focused on thinking about the birth of Christ, this baby being born in a manger. Verse 23, which goes back to about us so that we could be born again. Verse 23, as the angel is telling Joseph in his dream, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Right? We think a lot about the baby, but here it's brought to the, how are we saved from our sins? Through that sacrifice on the cross of the perfect Lamb of Jesus Christ. And often I read over that part because I'm so much thinking about early part of Christ, the birth of Christ. But this is why, so that he could save others from their sins. And it's such an important part to not skip over. And we think of, what an amazing Christmas gift this is for us, for everyone, for the world. It's not, we think about a lot of gifts that we get and think of the magnitude of this, that we have the opportunity to take part in what we learned about this morning in Bible class, take part in that eternal paradise, worshiping God, worshiping Christ in eternity, as opposed to, the one thing I was going to say this morning is that, when we're talking about these things, sometimes it's even hard for me to, or I think any of us, we try to think about heaven, what it's going to be like, how much are we going to be singing, what are these mansions like, and, sometimes in my earthly mind, it almost seems like overwhelming. You think like, wow, we could be singing all the time. And it's something we can't comprehend, because if we're thinking about us trying to do that here on this earth or live eternally on this earth, it almost seems like, I don't think any of us want to live in the state that we're in on this earth forever. But we also know that thinking of that eternal glory that we can share with Christ as opposed to the opposite, either way, it's eternity, right? We know that not serving Christ and turning our back on Christ, there will be eternal damnation in hell and eternal suffering. And that, I'm sure, is a lot more overwhelming if we think about that. So we have this great opportunity and hope in Christ in eternity in heaven with Christ in that paradise. And all this started, and we start to see the vision of it at this moment when Christ, we're being told he's come to save his people from their sin, so that we do have that opportunity and we have that hope to live eternally with Christ. So we have this gift of his birth, and because of that, the atoning blood of Christ on the cross. This is also another prophecy that's given in Isaiah chapter 53. I'd like to read a few verses because it also goes into, some of the humility as I talked about, starting in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he, Jesus, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It's because of us that he went through all these things and came to this earth, lived a life, and died in the way that he did for us. And because of our iniquities, it's right, he took the punishment we should have received upon himself. And that's something we need to always remember, whether we're reading of the Christmas account, story of his life, or in Easter, or in any part of the scriptures. We need to find a way to try to tie it back to the cross. As I think about Christ being born, I know that's kind of what started this Christmas as we talk about, but thinking about that as being a gift. You know, many of us, I think many in this congregation as well, probably share in a tradition of giving gifts to each other, and maybe have since you were young. You know, I know I have. That's part of what our family has done. And thinking about, you know, even as a child, thinking the anticipation, you know, seeing the gift under the tree or on the mantle, wherever it may be. And thinking about that, right, in anticipation, sometimes it's out there for a week or two before the time to open the gift. And, you know, kind of waiting, hoping it's something thinking probably something you want, hoping it might be something you need. Maybe you realize it could make your life better or more enjoyable or just more fun, whatever it may be. And you just can't wait. You have this excitement to open it. And you finally get to that day, you tear it open and you're so excited, the joy that you have to see this gift that's been given to you freely from someone else, whether it be your parents or whoever. It's given to you freely, and sometimes you might be in disbelief, like, I can't believe I actually got this. It's what I asked for or didn't ask for. How did they know this is exactly what I needed? Right? And we're so excited about it. And sometimes it's even, you know, we take such good care of it, even as kids, right? There's other toys we might be done or tired with, but this one thing we really wanted, we take such good care of it. And, you know, some of you might have memories of sleeping with it, even if it's like an uncomfortable big plastic dump truck or something, and that first night you want to put it in your bed and lay with it, and you're just so excited about it, right? I think a lot of us have probably experienced something like that in our life, if somebody's given us something that's just meant a lot to us. And the same way, I think, when we picture that gift of salvation, you know, we often talk about it as being a gift because it is given to us freely. Those things that Christ went through for us and did for us so that we didn't have to. It was given to us freely. It's offered to us freely. Anyone can take it today, right now. We know it's there in front of us. And, you know, asking ourselves, and I think a lot of us as well, we look and say, when we started seeking diligently and searching the scriptures and praying more to the Lord, we took that gift and we accepted it and we cherished it. We took good care of it. And sometimes in our lives, I think we can look and see there's times where maybe we did let it get a little dirty, or we kind of left it to the side a little bit. Right? We need to be careful that we don't let that happen, that we clean it off, that we keep it clean, even just with our Bibles, that we don't let them get dusty. Right? That we're always in the scriptures searching that. But thinking of that gift sometimes, you know, how many of us, when Christmas Day came around, or Christmas Eve, whenever your family tradition is to open the gift, said, okay, we can open the gifts, and there's a big bright one with your name on it, and you're like, well, I think I'll just leave it there for a while. I'm not really interested in opening it now, right? And there's some that do that with the gift of salvation. You've seen, maybe from learning about it in Sunday school, some maybe for a year, some, I know of some for decades that have left that gift sitting there. And it gets dusty and it maybe starts to fade and you kind of lose interest. Maybe even it's in the way, so you kind of kick it out of the way or don't treat it properly. Right? But you would never do that to an actual physical gift that somebody gives to you. But for some reason, when it comes to Christ, there's times where you think about pushing it off or procrastinating and not taking care of that. And think about all the things that Christ did for us and that our Father gave to us and offered to us. Think how you would feel if you gave a gift to somebody and you went back to their house 2 months later and you saw the paper kind of half torn off and it upside down and the box dented in because of how they treated it, how would that make you feel? And the same with the gift of Christ and salvation. And I think it's important that we think about this and realize that the gift of salvation that's before us, the contents inside that box are priceless. And we know what's inside that gift. There's no mystery there. Other than you don't fully understand sometimes until you experience it more and more every day and see how the Lord works in our life and fulfills that joy in our life. True joy. There's so many people this year, you know, you read all these posts and hear all these people about 2020, kick it to the curb, let's get to 2021, and people that are suffering, people that are depressed, that are so down. Because, yeah, some things maybe in their physical life have changed, or they're unfortunately maybe with their jobs or whatever it may be. But there's also a lot of ways to find blessings in 2020. A lot of families have spent a lot more quality time together because they can't do anything else, right? They can't go anywhere else. There's been a lot of opportunities, a lot of people maybe finding, understanding more of how important the Lord is to them in our salvation. That's something that's never going to change. That salvation cannot be taken away from us from COVID or from anything. And we have that hope that we can always dwell on and think about and be thankful for. And that's important that we think about that. I'd like to read through some different verses in the scriptures that focus on gifts and either use the word gift or I think can be applied to our salvation as a gift. So you can feel free to flip to these with me if you'd like. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. This is Jesus Christ explaining the giving of a gift and the giving of salvation and how much our Father God loves us. It says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" We know people on this earth, no matter what state in life they're in, a lot of them can buy and give a good gift, no matter if they believe in God or not. And this is the analogy that Jesus is making here. A lot of people know how to give gifts, but think if anybody can just give a gift to somebody, think of how much greater and better a Father that knows you so much, created you and loves you, the great gift that he can give to you and offer to you. It's like none other that we could find anywhere else and from anyone else. Verse we all know, John 3:16. Usually I like to look verses up, though, because when I'm in front of everybody, I always mess something up if I try to quote it. And I usually start talking in the middle, so then I get thrown off. Jesus again saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Anything that we give freely is a gift. "Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life." God gave that gift, and not it's free to us. It was of great expense to him. We have to remember that as well. He gave us a gift so that we could have eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And many of these are familiar verses, but I think perhaps we don't always catch the word gift in there. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Again, this isn't something we're working for, that we deserve to get, that we deserve to be paid for, that we deserve God to give us, that we earn. It's a gift of God through our faith in the grace that's given to us through Jesus Christ and the atoning blood shed on the cross. I'd also like to read in Romans chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 15 and 18, and if you read the verses in between there, I feel like it would take a lot of time, even for myself, to kind of break all those down. But it mentions gift, I think, 7 or 8 times throughout there. But verse 15 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, Much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, again, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So we have that free gift by Jesus Christ. And the one chapter over, Romans 6:23, this does talk about something we earn and deserve at first. Talking about, you know, we talk about our wages, the things that we earn, our daily wages, our hourly wage for the work that we do and what we get paid. But here it talks about the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn when we sin. That's the one thing we can earn and deserve. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's a contrast. This is what you do deserve and earned, but something that you, no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't earn and deserve it. And I, those back home in Mansfield know that I love the word but in the Bible, because it's used so many amazing times where it's such a contrast. And there's a lot of times where it's used with but God, right? We know Joseph, those that intended evil for Joseph, but God intended it for good. He had a better person or a better purpose, right? But here, what we do earn is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, again, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what? Why is all this, again, given? We look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and it talks about the life of Christ here. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's an amazing opportunity and gift that there's no way we could work to be made righteous like God. And look what happened to Lucifer, who, as an angel, tried and desired to do that. Right? He was kicked out of heaven and became Satan, taking part and now trying to get others to follow him. And the wages of that is that eternal death. But we have the opportunity, by accepting Christ, who took on our sin, says we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. And one other verse I'd like to read that always stuck out to me, kind of actually is what I think is an application of this gift, again, that we're given in this, what we do with that gift. If somebody's trying to give us a gift, what do you have to do to get the contents of it? Right? You have to take it from them, and you have to open it and accept it. Otherwise, you won't get what's inside of it. And Jesus Christ saying in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and we'll sup with him, and he with me. This is Christ's invitation. Just imagine that, Jesus Christ standing at your front door. And I believe that everyone can see him through the little window in the door and know that it's him there knocking. What are you doing with that? Are you opening the door and letting him in or not? Because this is where it describes that this decision is up to us on what we do with that. And the same thing with this gift that's given to us. Christ is giving, the gift of salvation is there. He's already paid that price. But by not taking it or accepting it or believing it, it's nothing to you. Until you, just like a gift is nothing to you if you leave it wrapped under the tree. There's nothing that doesn't benefit you in any way. And Christ here standing at the door and knocking, if we think of it, the door of our heart or the front door of our house, if that's helped you visualize it. Okay, most other people, if you know who they are, right? Typically, you open a door and let them come in. You're happy to do that. And again, think if you were knocking at someone's door and they said, go away, or they just ignored you. You know they came to the door and looked out the window and saw you standing there, but they're not opening the door, right? That would be terrible, humiliating. And yet often, many do that to Jesus Christ, who want to come in, but that decision And it's a privilege that we have a decision to make, but it is a decision we need to make, right? Nobody's being forced to follow Christ, to live a life for Christ. But thankfully, it's there for us to choose. And that's, of course, the most important decision that we can make in our lives. And for me, it's the most important decision I made in my life 20 years ago now. So, thinking about the birth of Christ, our Christmas time, where we reflect on this, we've been given many gifts. And even the scriptures talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we know was then left here for us when Christ ascended and thankfully dwells in us. We've been given spiritual gifts that we learn about in Corinthians, I believe it is, and we can use those different ways. And again, that's left up to us, and we have an obligation to use those gifts that we've been given for the Lord and to give Him glory. But most importantly, we've been given that gift of salvation. And, hopefully we can think about that salvation that's given to us through the atoning blood of Christ on the cross and what the life that He lived for us as an example for us, how we should try to live and, be with others as well. But also recognizing that sacrifice that He made, Jesus Christ made for us here on this earth, dying on the cross. And that, I believe, should always be the most important focus of our lives, whether it be at Christmas time, like I said, any time throughout the year. We always need to bring it back to the cross. And, for those of us here in our church or in our communities that we talk to, maybe when we're going back to work, and we hear about, people are telling us what they got their kids for Christmas or our friends telling us what they got, that can be an opportunity to share about this great gift of salvation that's been given to us and maybe use some of these analogies and some of these scriptures that we were able to look at this morning about the gift that we received from our Heavenly Father by sending His Son for us. Because, like I said, it's a good opportunity, I think, to, I don't want to call it a parable, but a way to make a connection for people who have shared in this tradition, so many years in their homes. Because a lot of people get gifts, Christmas time, on their birthdays. And we remember that we think of this as the birthday of Jesus Christ. This was when He was born. And there's another song that I'd like to read just one verse of that the children sang that we need to remember about the birthday of Jesus Christ. It says, "He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on that earth to hang there on that cross, born to die so we could live. He had the birthday, we got the gift. On our Savior's birthday, we got the gift." And that's important to remember that all of this was done not to glorify Christ, or not to lift up a man, Jesus, but to glorify God through the life of Christ and what He's done for us. His life, His death, His birth, everything was done for us. We got that gift at His expense. Or a lot of times you may have heard the acronym, GRACE, being used as an acronym as God's riches at Christ's expense. It was at His expense, and that's the gift that we received today.